Hello, and welcome to Come and Play, a geeky, kinky podcast. Come and Play discusses all things sex toys, kink, feminism, geek life, and gaming culture. My name is Elia Winters, and I'm an erotic romance novelist. In addition to this podcast, I also run a blog at eliawinters.com. We are back this week with the second half of my interview with Kismet. And time has passed for you, probably, unless you're binging these episodes. But for us, no time at all has passed, because this is the magic of the internet. So, Kismet, welcome back.
Thank you.
Even though it's been no time at all. So, speaking of closets and what's in them, I got a new nightstand, and I cleaned out the collection of sex toys.
Did you get a new nightstand because the old one vibrated apart?
I didn't, I swear. Although the drawers were falling apart. I've had that nightstand since I was a little kid. And it's moved with me. And like, I don't think the drawers ever were on their tracks properly. So they didn't ever like slide in and out. They sort of glumped into place. And you've gone in that nightstand. You know what I mean.
Oh yeah.
So yep. It's gone now. And I bought one from Amazon that I replaced it with. It was way smaller. And so I needed to pare down my collection, which needed to happen anyway, because I had way more toys than I was using. I think the next step I saw on some sex blogger's website is she uses an over-the-door shoe rack on her closet door, like one of those cloth ones.
Oh, okay.
And she puts all her dildos in there.
Huh.
And I think that's what I'm going to need to do, because there's just too much. There's just too much in that nightstand. Yeah. I already have a rack on my wall of all my kink stuff.
Yeah.
And so I've loaded that down. That's got all my impact toys and my bondage stuff. That's all hanging up in its nice little rack on the wall. But I still have so many dildos and vibrators now that I'm reviewing them.
You could just get a storage, like a storage unit.
Yeah.
And then if you ever defunct on payments, it'll be the best episode of Storage Wars ever.
Oh my God, they wouldn't even be able to air it. It'd just be one giant pixelated wall with vague vibration noises.
I would love to see the old women who were...
Oh my God, that's just horrible to think about. There's so many levels of that that are just horrible. Oh man, so I've gotten rid of a ton of stuff that I just don't play with. And it made me really look at, okay, what do I have and want in my sex toy collection? So I know that you are a kinky person and a lover of all things sexy and sex toys.
I am.
Let's start with toys. So what do you have? What do you like? What do you want?
Okay, toys. Well, one of the best things that I own is the Enjoy plug.
Oh God, Enjoy.
Yep.
Oh man, I would bend over for Enjoy so much.
I have the, I think it's the medium plug.
Mm-hmm, that's the one I have.
Yep, which is very nice. I very much enjoy it, and Sir also does.
Nice.
Which is one of the wonderful things about the Enjoy plug is it's easy to share between people because you can clean it very, very well, being that it is a steel toy. I also have the fun wand. The fun wand is the one with the...
The S-shaped one.
With yes, the S-shaped one. Mm-hmm. I have that one. I haven't used it as much as I would like.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to start using it more, but it is an excellent toy. Just haven't had much occasion yet. See, I'm terrible because I don't remember the manufacturers of a lot of my
toys. Well, you're with me.
Yeah, so you'll know immediately.
I'll just know.
Well, you also were there when I bought most of them.
Yep, absolutely.
So those are... Definitely excellent. Not super long ago, we got... It's a dildo. It's not a vibrator. It's got a suction cup on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you have one of them.
Yep. Is it the blue one?
It's not the blue one, but it's the same brand.
It's the same brand. I think it's the Colors brand. I actually found mine via Amazon. I know you bought yours in the store, I think.
Well, I went and I checked them out in the store.
Okay.
Just so that I could kind of physically see them and... you know, touch them and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on their website.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the color that I wanted.
Okay.
Mine is just regular human colored. I didn't particularly care, but that was Sir's preference, and I didn't have one, so.
Because I've got the ones that are, I've got the neon one.
Yeah.
I have the neon blue one, and they're also in peach flesh tone and brown flesh tone as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you've...
I think they also have, like an actual black one, too, that you can get.
Yeah.
Like a legit black one.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like the medium one of that, the medium sized one of that. And I would like to get a smaller one. I'd like to add to my collection. I also have the Angry Goose, which you've talked about on previous podcasts.
The Angry Goose was named by someone, another sexual partner of mine. Kismet is not my sexual partner.
No.
In case you've been wondering about that, as we just sit here, obviously totally naked.
Yeah, completely naked.
Knowing a ton about each other's sex lives. But no, the person who named the Angry Goose is a sexual partner of mine who has not been on the show. And I purchased this toy for her as a gift. And she's not a person who had ever used a vibrator before. So when she first turned it on, she was horrified at how strong it was. When I consider it, it's a very entry-level vibrator. And she's like, what is wrong with you? Like, this is just a normal vibrator. This is a nice gift. Be thankful for it. It's the Aroha Mini.
Yes.
If you want to look for it. If you Google Angry Goose, you're going to get a lot of interesting things.
But it's not going to be...
It's probably not going to be sex toys. If you Google Angry Goose sex toy, may God have pity on your soul. Because the things you're going to come across are going to be like that Ark of the Covenant reference that we were talking about with the melting face off and just some really horrible bestiality things.
You
and
deserve what you get.
Yeah. Geese cannot consent.
No.
So this... is like sort of triangular shaped with a rounded base. I'm like making it in the air with my fingers, but you can't see. It's a podcast. And so if you turn it sideways, it's also two colors. So it looks like a beak of one color with a little goose head of the other. And so we call it Angry Goose. Mine's called Darkwing Duck because it's purple.
Mine does not have a name. I have the, they say it's orange, but it's not.
No,
it's
like
yellow.
It's
like a...
Yellow with blue?
Yeah, it's yellow with blue.
Yeah. That's classic Angry Goose.
Yeah, it's definitely, I guess I could call it the Donald.
Oh my God, don't do that.
Like the Donald Duck, not Donald Trump.
Oh, no, I still didn't like it.
I still didn't like it either. Kind of freaked me out.
I won't judge you.
I don't know, I might need to put it down for a little while. We might need some separation time after that. But I very much enjoy that. It is a fairly mild vibrator if you've used other vibrators. A kind of funny little side, I don't know if it's funny, but a little side thing. I actually, for a long time, relied pretty heavily when it was just me on vibrators.
Mm-hmm.
Like I couldn't really get myself off otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a problem like with Sir or anything because it's a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's just me, like, I could never really rub one out on my own. I had to use a vibrator. And so I was reliant on some pretty heavy stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided at one point that I did not want to be reliant on stimulation like that. So I quit the vibrators cold turkey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. And for a while, I had a really kind of a rough time, you know, making it to that point. I'd get it partway there, and then I really had to relearn myself, you know, and learn exactly what I liked and what worked for me and what didn't. A lot of hentai later, and a lot of hentai and a lot of exploration later, I was able to, I can do it now, no problem. So if you are one of those people that definitely needs that stimulation, it might not be like a forever thing.
Mm-hmm. Unless you want it to be.
Unless you want it to be, which is totally fine. I just, like, I was kind of bummed that that was, for me, like, the only way that I could get off.
Yeah.
Like, I felt very disconnected from myself, which is not
see
the,
that.
Because it wasn't a choice. It was a dependency.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like I chose, okay, I'm going to get off using a vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got more comfortable with, you know, just myself, then I started introducing toys back into it, which is where I'm coming back to the Angry Goose.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like that for if I want to go a second round.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, the first time, it'll be just me, and then that's helpful for that extra stimulation mm-hmm. to, you know, get going again afterwards. So that's something that people, you know...
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before on the podcast, because I find this really interesting, that I have a pretty hard time with vibration in general, and I prefer to get off with manual clitoral stimulation, but it's limited me in a different way, in that I'm very much dependent on it being my hand.
Oh, okay.
And so I have a much, much harder time for partners to get me off than if it's me. And I feel like if I had a similar dependency, but if it were on a vibrator, then that would transfer to a partner a lot more easily than the hand does.
Yeah.
So it comes down to, it's like risk and reward sort of thing, that if the more ways you can learn, the easier it is.
Yeah.
And it is impossible to become physically addicted forever
yes.
to a device.
Yeah.
The more orgasms you have, your body actually develops neural pathways to increase the frequency of other orgasms. That's why when you're first, I don't know, if you're like me and you didn't learn to get off until you were a teenager, the first ones, like, you don't know what you're doing and it's really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a clitoris and a vagina anyway, tends to be that people with penises don't have that problem. But if you are learning to get off using a clitoris and a vagina, sometimes it's really hard to figure it out. And then the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So if you learn only one way and you only do it one way, it's hard for you to get off other ways. So I've been trying to experiment with different things and different methods to broaden my capacity, as it were.
That's a really great idea.
Mm-hmm. It's really good times.
And it's a good excuse to go out and buy more toys.
Oh my God, so much. Like, I know someone who can only get off, well, not only get off, but her preferred method of getting off is friction. It's humping things, like pillows or a hand
yeah.
or something like that. And I could never get off that way. Like, not at all. I'm like, good Lord. Like, that's pretty remarkable.
I don't think I've ever really tried that too
much. Oh good,
much.
Now you have homework.
So yeah I'll go give home that a go. And, you know.
But I know some people, like, that's their preference, and it was not something I ever learned to do. So I think I could learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons that I started off with the, kind of made the jump directly to the vibrator is, initially, people wondered why I took really long showers.
Oh, nice. You were a showerhead person.
I was a showerhead person.
I discovered that one in college.
Yeah. Most showerheads, if you fiddle with them long enough, they have, the massaging ones anyway, they have one setting where they'll just be a continuous stream.
I know that setting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fiddle with them, but you'll find it on most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I took really long showers in high school.
Yeah. That's good times. That was always my method when I was, like, away, like, in a hotel that I was sharing with other people with whom I'm not sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I can't wait for everybody to go to sleep and reliably stay asleep.
Yep.
That's a good point. So, we've talked about this in the past, but this is a good podcast topic. Sometimes one can have a sexual partner who is resistant to toys. And my knee-jerk reaction is always like, get rid of them immediately. And sometimes that's, you know, good advice because there's other problems. And sometimes it's just that somebody just doesn't know enough. But
yeah.
Sometimes they're assholes. You had an asshole.
I did. I have a story. My first boyfriend, it's good we started with the vibration thing to begin with, because it kind of leads up into the story.
Mm-hmm.
He was not exactly secure in his sexuality and in his body image and things like that. And people who know me know that that's like the last possible thing that I will ever shame anyone for. Mm-hmm. I bought a vibrator, and at the time I thought it was actually a fairly large vibrator. But I mean, now the things I've seen, I've seen some shit. So it's pretty tame. It was a sparkly pink vibrator.
You went the opposite direction from me, who did buy a very large vibrator that was just terrifying. It's just like, looking back now, I was, it's horrifying even in retrospect. So go on, pink sparkly. So,
pink sparkly vibrator. And I bought it predominantly because it took D batteries, and it had a really, really strong vibration. Mm-hmm. So strong that the tip of it would practically oscillate, like it would vibrate so strongly. And he came over one day, and he was snooping through my drawers, which I wasn't trying to hide it. Mm-hmm. Or anything. I mean, it was in my drawer next to my bed, you know, the grand hiding place of every woman ever. Mm-hmm. And he just lost his shit. Was so upset that I would dare to buy it. Because he just, like, assumed that, like, basically he got, like, penis envy for this vibrator.
Did you tell him if his sparkled, you wouldn't need to buy it?
Well, Edward, if you'd be a little more fucking sparkly, need to go get me some sparkly vampires. Oh my God. He got so mad, and he's, you know, basically thinking, like, if she wants this thing in her, then what does she think of me? Mm. And I literally had never used it internally. Legitimately had never used it. I used it on my clit for the strong ass vibrations. And I tried to explain this to him, and he got so angry that he threw my vibrator across the room and broke it.
Oh my gosh.
He broke my sparkly pink vibrator.
Wow. Was that when you knew?
That was really getting towards the point when I knew. The beginning of the end.
I mean, was he one of the guys who would be like pissed off if he knew that you masturbated?
Not so much as long as it was with nothing that was bigger than his dick.
Oh my God.
Like, I mean, if it had been a cucumber, he probably would have, like, hacked that thing to pieces and, you know.
Oh God.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like.
Yeah. Guys, okay, those of you who are listening right now, having sex with a sex toy is not like having sex with a person.
No.
It's not. Sometimes it's preferable.
Depending.
Like, it's okay that sometimes I don't want an emotional connection. I don't want to cuddle. Sometimes I just want to get off. However, I have a kink dynamic where that's actually pretty reasonable. but generally, it's like we pick people. If your girl is always choosing to masturbate alone as opposed to have sex with you, one of two things is going on. Either you should, well, I guess, okay. If your girl prefers to masturbate rather than have sex continuously, either you are really bad at sex together and you should talk about that, or there is some emotional need that is not getting fulfilled between the two of you. It's either physical or emotional. Work it out. This doesn't mean that you can't each have your preference, that you have your solo wanking time. Nobody owns another person's sexuality.
No.
But don't break her sparkly pink vibrator.
Exactly.
Let her use it on you. You might like it.
Yeah, try something new. And maybe try asking her how she, you know, instead of just assuming that it's used as an insertable, right. You know, maybe talk to her about it first.
Exactly.
And in terms of, I've never understood the concept of masturbating as being something that you need to hide.
Right.
Like, when people in college, I would talk to girls and they would be like, oh, I found porn under my boyfriend's bed, or I caught him, watching stuff on his computer. It's like, I would be a little unnerved if I didn't.
Mm.
Like, if, I mean, that's if you know that your partner, is, sexually minded. Mm-hmm. If they're not, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But, if you know that that's something that they're into and, there is no solo play whatsoever, I'd be a little, questioning about that. More so than I found a Playboy under his bed.
Right.
It's not, it's not something that you should think, okay, they're choosing this instead of me.
Right.
Like, when it comes to Sir and I, we don't live together yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are times when we're not together.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, our kink is not orgasm denial. So we're free to do whatever we want, whenever we want. And there have been plenty of times where, he's told me that, he was jerking it to whatever, or I was, rubbing one out to, and when you do stuff like that, like masturbation, it increases the overall level of hormones in your system generally.
Yes.
So if you have a healthy, masturbatory habit, then it might lead to more sex in general.
Absolutely. And this is a good point in the podcast to say that if you have been experiencing a decrease in sex drive, or your partner has been, there could be a lot of reasons for that. And some of them are emotional and some of them are medical. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. But those are great people to talk to if you or your partner is experiencing any of those things.
Absolutely. Don't automatically assume that it has something immediately to do with your relationship, because many, and I would venture to even say most times, it does not.
I would say most also.
People have their own cycles. There could be stuff going on at work. There could be some sort of imbalance going on, in their system that, and they might not even recognize it until it's something that you sit down and have a conversation with them, and not an accusing conversation. Sit down and be like, hey, this has been going on. I want to make sure that you're okay and that we're okay.
Yep.
And it might be something that they didn't even pick up on or recognize.
That's so true. That happened with me about 6 years into hormonal birth control for me, that my sex drive had diminished substantially. And my sex drive is usually pretty animalistic. And so over a year, it slowly dropped off until the point where it was much less. And my partner, who has a lower sex drive than me in general, did notice it and said, I think you should chart this. You should see how it has to, how it's hormonally affected, because I think it is. And for me, it was, and it caused me to make different decisions about my birth control.
Yeah, and there's so many different choices out there right now that, go and talk to your doctor.
While you still can.
Yes. While we're still able to get it.
Before the Handmaid's Tale takes over our lives.
Exactly.
Oh, I can't even joke about that without wanting to cry. That's horrifying. Oh my goodness. All right. I'm going to ask you a few this or that questions.
All right.
To wrap things up. So, here we go.
Let's do it.
Dog or cat?
Cat.
Toast or eggs?
Oh, toast, definitely.
Mobile games or console games?
Console.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
What's worse, laundry or dishes?
Dishes, definitely. I hate touching gross food bits.
Which is more important in a partner, intelligent or funny?
I would say funny.
At a movie, candy or popcorn?
Oh, popcorn. Because movie theater popcorn, you just can't make it like that outside the movie theater.
It's amazing. I have a friend who, when she was pregnant, one time she had a craving for movie theater popcorn, so she drove to the movies, bought some, and left.
That's awesome.
She just didn't go see a movie. She just went in and bought the popcorn.
That's great.
Coffee or tea?
coffee, especially Black Sheep Coffee.
Oh, Black
Sheep. Shout out to Black Sheep Cafe.
In Amherst, Massachusetts. Oh, Black Sheep, how I love you. Beer or wine?
Beer.
When you're sleeping, no covers or all the covers?
All the covers, otherwise the monsters can get you.
That's true. I'm glad you know that.
Yeah.
I would hate for you to be eaten by monsters.
It's
unless you're into
rule.
That. I'm into that.
Well, I mean, theoretically I'm into that. Realistically, not so much. But theoretically, you know, I'm up for whatever.
All right, nice. Which leads into some of the sexy questions.
All right.
Give oral or get oral?
Give.
Nice. I like that too.
Yeah, I'm a service sub, so.
Oh, nice. Submit or be submitted to?
Submit.
No, that's an easy one.
Although, I mean, I'm playing around with some switchy tendencies.
Nice.
Not quite sure yet, but, you know, there's been a little here and there, so.
All right. That's good. That's good. I'll stay tuned for your next visit to the podcast. Favorite sexual position?
Doggy style.
Nice. Okay, let's end with something non-sexual. Winter or summer?
Winter.
Why?
Because summer's way too effing hot.
That's true.
Yeah, I live beyond the wall, so the North remembers, and it's in the summer. It's just way too fucking hot.
The North remembers. All right. And what is your, what's your Hogwarts house?
I am a proud Ravenclaw.
Nice. You know, I only fuck Ravenclaws.
That's good to know.
All right. Kismet, thank you so much for being on Come and Play.
Oh, anytime. I look forward to being back.
I can't wait to have you back. Do you have any last parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Last parting words of wisdom. Feel good about yourselves and stay geeky and stay kinky and you do you.
You like took the ending of my
yes.
podcast. You took my stay geeky.
I stole it.
I love you. Thank you so much for saying that. If you're enjoying the podcast, please recommend it to your friends. Share about it on social media if you're willing to admit you listen to this podcast, and leave us a nice review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I also have a Patreon, and you can support the show that way. It's at patreon.com/Elia Winters. That's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. As always, stay geeky and kinky. Come and Play Podcast is produced by Elia Winters. Like Elia, the theme music is So Easy. It's by Jazzar and is being used under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. Check out more about Jazzar on betterwithmusic.com.